Kumbho Jizun Jambe Yangla Jaze Lo Kangi Lo Dhe Temne Tente Nyenda Nandara Chini Tungun Chishin Sikche Niji Tuga Legwamze Kanda Sibe Tsura Mari Mendomo Tunge Gizewe Chozo gun la puji taze yen la choji yande su. Chodara che jo nyumo nilong legi cha jod. Mari me se to nye nyugo chi nye chen ze rati. Tene da je za ju da zun yun dun lun zo ya se to. Chudra chudra chunyi gende thalu me se jambe yangla Omo arabadzam ande Omo arabadzam ande Omo arabadzam ande Omo arabadzam ande Kira veze ge dalu temu memba rabze Kada tenju shonglo toba ye loju pobe na cedo su Chuzhi medo tama rira linje nyende genba de sange shindu mide byowa Drogun namda jinla chubara sho Damba ke namanje chugu kala kenzi tinte ne Chedara zambe tujan zema Sabje chuje chaba abdo se Dala ganaya te yame Shudha zoye cho namala chanjo bado dhane gyazo che Tagi chushe gibi so namage Chola penje sanje dhubara sho Shudha zoye cho namala chanjo bado dhane gyazo che Tagi chushe gibi so namage Dola penje sanje dhubara sho Soye cho namala chanjo bado tane gyansu che Tage chenso kube chanjo Sanje dhubara sho Lada lame me dame anje ombo dan je jen la so shu je jo la cha wa che pa na sanje sumba rabdo shi jen tewe gyu gyu ba deda je je tambe shun jen shi ne de je je Namo laye yodan lodan ne jenje, drubunda da me yeke namdan, drubwa kunje, chandan chizan ba tamje, kedo tage chöten dos.
Good morning. Yeah, today doesn't feel like doing anything, isn't it? This kind of day. So thank you very much. I really appreciate your consistency. And I'm not just giving a lip service. It is very impressive. And especially this kind of day, you know. Of course, I know you have other priorities. There are so many important things you have to attend to. But you still prioritize this over rest of all. Even if you don't have anything specific, but this kind of that kind of day calls in to sleep. Yeah. But you still, you know, fought that desire to sleep in and made it here. So thank you. And I don't take this lightly. So that's why I try my best to prepare for my class. Because I know that you have put so much importance to this. And if I just come here and say whatever comes to my mind, that's, yeah, it's not right from my side. So thank you very much for, you know, coming every Sunday. So we will begin with our ritual. That's how have you applied in the last week about any, what you call, points we have discussed or what you have learned. Please feel free to share your insight. Anybody? Yes?
I've been thinking a lot about the how the timing of death is unknown.
Mm.
Even though intellectually I know that I could die today, it's hard to get it here. And so we had, my partner had a good friend from high school who passed away from cancer, and so he's out of state right now at her funeral. And so thinking about that has made it more real. Like, it's somehow, I feel it more if I can think about I could die in the next year or two, that there's so many examples of that that I seem to know so many people that have died of cancer that have been sick for a few years. So I've just been thinking about that.
Okay, very good. I think, yeah. So all these incidents, when we hear about death, so normally we tend to, you know, it's like it's not related to me. Oh yeah, somebody died, or that person died. And we think that that's not happening to us. That will not happen to us. We kind of separate incidents happening to others with our own fate. So, as you rightfully, you know, did, it is, we, whenever we hear all this, we have to apply to ourselves, oh, you know, this happened to him, and this could happen to me as well, you know. At the moment, I am healthy and well, but this could happen to me. I could die, you know, certainly. Yeah, that's how. So, of course, thinking about that and then doing nothing is not the point. So when you have this kind of fear, that then you say, oh, I have to prioritize my life. I have to prepare for that final time. So that's the main thing. Mm. Anything? Anyone? Anyone?
Yeah, I have. Oh, I'm sorry.
Injikyonanda. Kunsamaya. Nyengurwa.
Sometimes you start from earth, dissolve to the water,
mm-hmm.
you fall asleep.
Yes. I can relate to that.
So, yeah. So, oh, nothing happened. Get to the
I can relate to that. That happens to me all the time. Yeah, before third, fourth stage, already in my slumberland. The six Guru Yoga session.
I pray that, and then the dissolve to yourself, and that time I try to do the
dissolution. Okay.
And then I can complete.
Okay. Very good. Very good.
But I think more about the inner, the cloud and the
internal science.
Internal science, yeah. I think more about the internal science visualize more than the physical because.
Yeah. Yes. Definitely. Yeah, understandable. Okay.
It's hard to express in English. Then so used to.
Very good. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. Sorry, you
okay,
want
to. Well, this is not something specifically we've talked about, but it has to do with mindfulness. And in order to live a virtuous life, you have to be mindful. And I came across a quote by Gelug Rinpoche, who I think most of you know. He was the spiritual director of Jewel Heart for many years, and he died a couple of years ago, a wonderful charismatic teacher. And he had this quote that said, when an affliction arises, take care of it until it goes away, and then put on your anti-affliction jacket so it doesn't come back.
that's good, yeah.
That was just a wonderful mindfulness practice reminder for me, and so I've been keeping that in mind for
okay,
the last
very
few
good.
Since I ran across it.
Okay, very good, very good. Anyone?
Okay. I started doing the dissolution practice a while ago. I've read His Holiness's book, which is a small commentary on each one. He has these like two line phrases, sort of like condensed. So I just at nighttime, you read through that before entering into your sleeping consciousness. It can be helpful by doing it. It just becomes more and more familiar, and you try to just try to be with it, even though you don't really have to try anymore. It just is there. You fall into your sleep. But it's funny she said that because there's times when you're tired and you just fall right into sleep, unconscious. And those other days when you can ride it out and you ride it out all the way, then you reverse it, you know, and try to do something with it.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Yeah, I think it's good. Even if you fall at the first stage, second stage, but at least your mind is not negative. You go to bed with neutral. If positive, well, that's good. But definitely not negative. So you see, hold. That's why the practitioners, they try to utilize this sleep time. We sleep. You know, spend how many hours? 8 hours, 6 hours. So if you are able to sleep with a virtuous attitude or mental state of mind, so it is said that throughout that time, you are doing virtues. So that's the easiest way to cultivate merit. So it is good way to, start your night with that kind of dissolution. Sorry, somebody wants? Okay, Ken. Chuck, sorry.
The thing that has motivated me to really practice this regularly is the personal experiences of friends and things and the awareness in our culture that you very likely won't have the best conditions for death. You may not have any time. You could, if you're in an accident or something happens very quickly, that you want to have it so clear in your mind and very quick, so you can quickly focus your mind on what's going on and be that prepared.
Mm.
So it's good to start out and say, oh,
yes,
imagine,
yes.
I have plenty of time. I'm like, but sometimes, you know, like that.
Yes, yes, not, yes, you're right. Yeah, anyone? Okay. Have you seen this movie called Zero? It's about the Osama bin Laden. The Zero something something. So that's when they sell this SEAL team to capture Osama bin Laden. I've seen this movie. And in the movie, the early parts, once they have the information, the intel, that you know Osama is residing there, was residing there. So the SEAL team was selected. And then they went through what you call a lot of rigorous training. They, what do you call, simulate the, yes, they have this, enact this house where he lives, all this. And then they practice every day for how many days? Just to make sure that when they go there, when they are actually in that area, that spot, they were able to, you know, do what they came for. So it's like this. When we are doing, we are actually simulating that process. So that we do this, so when it actually comes, then yeah, we're able to recognize, oh, this is this, oh, this is this, this is this. So that's the whole purpose.
Habituation.
Yeah, you became familiar, you became accustomed to this, so you will be able to recognize. So those SEAL teams, they have the same thing there. So when they got there, they know that, oh, we are in this room. So Osama's room is above this room. They already know. So likewise, when we simulate this, when we visualize all this happening, then the actual death comes, then we'll be able to know, oh, yeah, this is this one. You're able to recognize. When you're able to recognize, then you'll be able to seize that opportunity. So that's the main point here. And it was not clear about this for the four stages, I was just thinking of it. Maybe one way to the internal signs, one way to kind of visualize this, let's say if you are in a glass house. So the first stage is like you are in the glass house, suddenly somebody dropped a white cloth, all this. The whole whatever you are in that glass house becomes kind of white, vivid white. And then suddenly a red cloth drops, and then you have that vision. And then likewise the black cloth. So maybe that is better to understand, easier to visualize. Yeah, so I thought about it, and I thought, oh, maybe, yeah, that would be, it can help some of you. Yeah. Okay, so today we are going to have fun. We are going to do some exercise, which is called loss exercise. Yeah, please take one bundle, and then if you don't have pen or pencil, please take one as well. Yeah, I think they're all bundled in one.
Yeah, well, this one.
Okay. Yeah, I think you keep one and then pass around. So this exercise, you require to really immerse in this. Really take this seriously. The more seriously you take this, the more benefit you will gain from this. So you should have 16 papers, 4 of each color. So the first, you can take the blue ones first. Once you have the 4 blues, so on each sheet, yeah, you have 4 of the blues. On each one, write, you are, in total, you are to write four items, but on one on each sheet. What you are supposed to write is material things or possessions, not necessarily expensive, which you are having and which you treasure most. So you kind of rank it. The one that is most precious, you write is number one, and then put in one paper. And then, yeah, the second one, the second most treasure on the second page, the second paper, third paper, yeah. Write four of these. Is it clear? Let me read again. Material things or possessions which you are having and which you treasure most. Some of you treasure, you know, your house. Some of you treasure car, your money, whatever. Material possessions. So you, four of these.
At the moment,
what you have. If it was in the past, of course, cannot help. Whatever you have now, not in this room,
most important
material possessions. Yeah. Maybe you have a fat balance in bank, so that may be, you know, most precious for you. And it doesn't have to be very expensive. It is important to you. One on one page, on each page, yeah. You have to write four. If you cannot come up with four, then yeah, maybe, yeah. Try to come up with four. At least, I think you have so many important things, yeah. Yeah, it shouldn't be a problem. Maybe it's just, the problem is which is more precious, isn't it? Yeah, take time. Yeah, this one, yeah, you have to think through. Yeah, really give a good thought. Don't worry, I'm not going to look at your things, and nobody will know what you have written. And you can even write short form. It's okay. It's not for me to see it. As long as you know what that is, that all counts. That's all it counts. So if you are done with blue, please raise your hand, and then we will move on to the next one. Okay. Everybody done with the blue? Okay, take time. Take your time. Those who have finished, get your white papers ready. Everybody done with the blue? Done, is it? Not done? Okay, good. So now we go on to white. On the white sheet, four, you have to write four items. Four roles you are playing. So it could be you are playing a role of a daughter to a parent, you are a husband to a wife, or wife to a husband, mother to your children, whatever, father to your, whatever roles you are playing, four of these. That also rank
in importance,
yeah.
it's hard. You're only giving us four.
For most important, it is, yeah, yeah. Most important things, important roles.
Practitioner,
yeah. Hmm. As long as you understand, yeah, yeah, it's okay. So if you're all done, let me know, then we can move on. How many of you have played this, done this exercise before? Anthony has done, I think.
Not to this extent. Mm-hmm.
Okay, okay. So you have done it. The rest you haven't done this again. Okay, that's good. So are we done with the white sheet? Sheet. Sorry.
You sound like Thich Nhat Hanh. He talked about sheets of paper.
White sheet, yeah. I have to be careful with my... Okay, let's go on to green. Four activities that take up the bulk of your time. So it could be your job, it could be looking after your child, or I don't know. Important activities, yeah? Four important, most important activities that take up the bulk of your time. Are we done?
Not quite.
Okay. Now on to the last paper, the pink. Four people or animals who are still living and are dearest to you. Four most important people. If animals are very important to you, of course you can write that. Whatever, a living, actually is a living being that is important to you. Four names. You don't have to write full name, you can just write the initial. This is mainly for you to know. Mm. sorry. Yeah, if you have more than that, you can rank. So most important, then the right number one, and then two, and then three, and then four. So you just rank. If you have six people, among them you choose the top four. Are we done? Done, yeah? Okay, if we are done, then now spend few minutes going through what you have. You know, going through the list of the things or possessions that you have written down. And reflect what you are having. And how blessed you are to have all these possessions. How do you feel about all that possession that you have, the important people in your life? You should be having tears of, you know, joy that you have all these things. But I don't see any tears. Okay, now is the fun part. So now the death will come and then take one from the list.
Oh.
So I will be the death. So I will come around, you just hold your paper, all that. You know, hold it for me and imagine that I am the death or Lord of the Dead. Yeah, we don't want to use the Lord of Dead as it is some, you know, person there. So you hold up your this thing and I'm going to take away one.
Explain, one from...
Yeah, you just hold up all. Of course, the best is if you take from each color, but that will take too long.
Oh,
so
okay.
You just hold everything.
Hold it.
Yeah.
Something that we're willing to give to the Lord of Death.
No, everything.
No, you just hold there, and then, yeah, I will come.
Okay.
I'm only taking one.
No, just
yeah.
Hold the whole thing.
Yeah, just hold everything up.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Yeah,
okay,
hold up all that
it.
Card. All that, everything in your hand.
Oh, everything.
Yeah, so we won't go
color by color, because it will take too long.
Like that.
Okay. Kind of spread for me, so that it's easier for me.
You can take two.
And you take it from blue.
Well, yeah, eventually.
You escaped death.
So can now check what you have lost. What you have lost, and imagine if this is the real, if this happens to you in real, in reality, how would you feel?
Big sense of loss.
Anybody want to share? Yeah, it's up to you, yeah. If it's something very private, then you don't have to. If you want to share how you feel, yeah, you really have to immerse in there, and then, yeah, you have the feeling. Yes, Ken, go ahead.
Well, one of the ones you grabbed was my retirement funds. And, you know, I have been so happy to have had the ability to retire and to make my choices about what I want to do with my time and to devote where I want to. And I need my retirement funds in order to be able to do that.
Yeah.
And that's gone.
Yeah.
I but can't
see,
do that anymore.
Anything could happen to your retirement fund.
Yes.
You see? Suddenly government may decide, you know, oh, we are not going to have that. You know, we need to pay, I don't know, that how many trillion of deficit at the moment. Yeah. Anybody? Yes?
I was quite surprised at how strongly I felt the loss. It was sort of like a game, and then you took it, and I kept looking for the things that were gone. Oh, they're gone.
Yeah.
I lost my time to practice.
Ah.
Me too. Listening to teaching.
Yeah,
me too. So your time is, yeah.
So imagine.
Both of them listening, and then the time on the cushion. Both of them, the two was gone.
Yeah, that could happen.
Yeah,
any minute. Anybody?
I lost my time to help my daughter to receive my grandson from the bus.
Yeah.
Who will do it now?
No, who will do it?
Anybody want to share?
I lost my job.
Oh, you lost your job. Oh, that's.
Yeah.
I lost all of my personal archives of photos from previous generations, family, everybody.
So how do you feel about it?
That's
what psychology would say.
I don't feel so sad about that. I would be sadder if I lost my dharma.
Yeah. Of course, Anthony is different, yeah. He is really a practitioner. Yeah. Okay, so that's good. So now, hold for me again. And I'm going to come and... This time is the real death. The yama.
Thank you.
Now think about what you have lost. And how do you feel now?
I feel clean.
You feel clean?
I don't feel any regret.
Yeah.
Anybody?
Yeah, it's like what's here, you know, there's something here.
So you lost everything, you know. You lost those important people in your life. You lost all your possessions. Is the light on?
It's plugged in.
It is.
The light just went off. You don't care.
Are we on HDMI 2 or 1?
1.
I don't know how to do that. How to get to the HDMI 1. Okay.
I realize that I still have what you couldn't take from me.
What's that?
Deathless mind and deathless body. Deathless mind and body.
Mind and body.
Deathless, indestructible mind, indestructible body.
Okay.
I feel scared.
Mm-hmm.
So, this could happen.
Mental continuum.
Oh, I know.
Couldn't take that.
Mm.
Well, I could hear it was coming, so it's like this habituation. I could hear because you were in the back, and I was hearing this crunching, and you said it's just the real thing, and I just knew everything, and so it's like this is that this habituation.
Mm.
So it's like it's a preparation.
Yeah. So what have we learned from the loss exercise? Do you see it here?
Yeah.
It is sad to lose our loved ones. It is sad to lose our possessions. And what does it teach us?
To love them.
Everything is impermanent. You have to expect that, you know, things are not permanent. At the moment, you have wealth, you have house to live in, you have friends, you have partners, you have spouses. You have your wife and husband, whatever it is, but they are not permanent. Anything could happen to them. Anything could happen to you. You could lose that anytime. So you need to have this reminder all the time. If you have this understanding that yes, everything is permanent, anything can happen, first of all, it will help you to reduce attachment to your loved ones or to your possessions, whatever it is. So when you have, what do you call, less attachment to things and to your possessions and people, when something happens to them, when you lose them, the pain is bearable. It is not so strong. Remember, I was talking about this prolonged grief disorder. It is a prolonged grief. So grief is natural. It is our way to cope when we lose our loved ones. That is expected. People grieve. It is a coping mechanism. But if that grief goes on and on, if this is prolonged, then it becomes a disorder. Then depression arises. Then you become non-functional. So why does people go into prolonged depression and prolonged grief? Because they did not expect.
Right.
the change was so strong. They never expect. They always assume that whatever, I mean, that the loved ones will be there all the time. You are not prepared. So if you are able to contemplate on the nature of impermanence, then, can you hear me without this? Sorry. Yeah, so is it better? Okay. Yeah, so what I was saying is that it is important to really reflect on impermanence. Then, yeah, when, of course, our life is full of, what do you call, there are so many adversities. We are faced all the time with things that we don't like to experience. But when these such situations arises, if you have a good understanding of impermanence, then we will be better equipped to cope with such loss. So the lesson, another lesson is treasure and value what we have now, especially our loved ones, before we lose them. You know, most, I have seen many people, the couple, they fight all the time. When then somebody passes away, there is so much regret. There's a lot of tears. But that's too late. When the person was alive, you did not live happily. You quarreled all the time. You argued all the time over trivial matters. And then when the person is gone, then you cry. So that is not a wise man would do. So we have to treasure and value what we have, especially our loved ones. And then appreciate what we have when it comes to the material possessions also. We need to appreciate. We need to be grateful of the things that we have. And then stop whining about things that you don't have. You know, there are so many worse situations than us. And there's no reason, actually, if you compare it with other people. And I don't know whether I mentioned to you, in monastery, many of the monks, nowadays maybe it's different. During my early years, I told you that there were times where I don't have any money at all. I run penniless. And most of the monks, most of the time, their pockets are empty. But do you see them, you know, so unhappy, sullen and all that? No. They're so happy. So this also suggests that happiness is not, you know, due to whether you have money or not. It is not about whether you have wealth or not. And you have those billionaires or millionaires who couldn't even sleep, who had difficulty sleeping. And I told you I have a friend who is very wealthy, but he says he sleeps with his mobile phone because he is constantly watching the stock market. When he wakes up, he just see, oh, what is the stock exchange? If it has gone down or something, he must sell it. So what life is there? So that's why, instead of focusing on what we don't have, if we are able to focus on what we have, then we will be able to cultivate what is called contentment. With contentment, happiness flows. Because one of the cause of unhappiness is dissatisfaction or disappointment. If you have contentment, then of course dissatisfaction or discontentment, it is the opposite. It's like fire and water. One cannot exist when the other one is there. So that's important. then what else can we learn from this? So at the moment, we are feeling the loss. But one day, we ourselves will pass on. We ourselves will die. And then, our loved ones will lose us. So the question now is, since that is the case, have we loved them properly? Have we told them that we love them? But we don't realize this when they are alive, when we are alive. So that's why one of the advice is live your life every day as if this is your last day. Then it will be completely different. Your interaction, your relationship, how you treat others, it will be completely different. And also, have we accepted their love for us? We don't see that most of the time. We think that we love them. We don't realize that how much they give back. It is same with, you know, the household chores. So there were experiments when people asked the husband and wife, you know, how much do you think, you know, house chore you are doing? They will say that, oh, I've been doing 75%. When you ask the wife, she will say that, I'm doing 75. So the house chore has to be 100%, isn't it? Where did this extra come from? So every time, yeah, we don't appreciate others, love, affection, others' effort, others' work. We always think that I am the one who gives love. I am the one who is doing all this. We tend to be blind to others' contribution. So this we have to really think through, sit back and see. Because if you see others' contribution, you will be more appreciative of that person. If you are more appreciative of that person, definitely there's sense of gratitude. When there is sense of gratitude, your response is different. There is this sense of, what do you call this? This wish to reciprocate. You want to repay the kindness. So that, it improves your relationship. Our life is so short. It's just maximum 90 years or 100, but when you live 100, I think it's we're talking about the quality of life. So if you live, let's say, 80 years, and we are already in what age now? So try to spend that remaining life, whoever you are with, you know, try to improve your relationship. So if we both have this kind of thinking, there wouldn't be any cases, divorce cases. We can retire all the divorce lawyers. Yeah. So, you know, sometimes we think that it is out there. It is here. You can do. It's all depend on you. You have the ability whether to make this work. Of course, there are very rare cases where, you know, there's nothing. But most of the time, actually, if just a little switch of attitude, you can make it work. Have we adequately prepared our loved ones for the day we are going to say goodbye? Think for a minute, you know. If you die today, do you think that you have prepared your loved ones for this? Since everything is impermanent, are we all prepared and ready to journey on any time? Are we ready? I am not ready. How about you?
Not ready. That's why I was so scared when I'm not ready.
So that is good to have. That kind of fear.
I'm still scared.
Mm.
Something is still
well. And that will kind of motivate us to prepare. So what should we do? We have limited time on hand, but we just have far too many things to do. Hence, there is a need for us to prioritize and do the most important first, so that we will not have any regret. We have discussed during this mindfulness of death that we are all the time occupied with meaningless. If you really analyze that, what we are doing is really meaningless. Most of the time, we spend our, what is called, we fritter, is it fetter?
Fritter, yes.
Fritter our time away. All for this life, which does not even help slightly for our future. So there's a quotation from Geshe Sobha's book, which I really like. I wanted to share with you. Does the death say, it says, oh, you haven't finished your work, because people die while in the midst of doing something. They've started a project, but then you die. So you're saying that. Does the death say that, oh, you haven't finished your work? You still have an unfinished wish? You still have one big thing you want to do? Then go ahead. Finish what you need to do. Will death say like this? And Geshe Sobha says, no, it doesn't work that way. Death never waits. It just suddenly appears and takes you away. The way which I was trying to illustrate that. You see, death comes. You have no choice. You can say, oh, I want to surrender this. Or you take this one. Or I still need to do this. There is no such a thing. It just comes and takes away everything. So, what is the conclusion? Prepare. Prepare. So prepare. So prepare, we have to prepare from right now. From today. There is no fixed time, you know, okay, I know all this, I am going to prepare. Or maybe next year. That does not wait. As Geshe Sobha said, oh, I know your plan, okay. You go ahead, I will wait for you. It doesn't say that. So please, since you have already put effort to come here, to spend every Sunday 2 hours of your Sunday time. But if you just leave it here, then of course coming here is good, you will have some imprints. But that's not enough. But you really need to, we all need to try to put into practice as much as possible. Then, yeah, slowly we can build up. Then, yeah, week after week, month after month, year after year, is like, you know, depositing every month a little amount of money. Then at the end of, I don't know, 10 years, wow, you will be surprised. Wow, I didn't expect to accumulate that much, that amount. Like those, the children, they use piggy, what do you call, piggy bag, is it?
Piggy bank.
So they put in money every time they get, and then when they crack open it, wow, so much accumulated there. So likewise, we have to do on daily basis. Then 10 years later, when we look back, we will be happy what we have done. Then yeah, anything happens. Even if whatever you have done, it should help you, but even if it doesn't help you in your future life, at least at the time of death, you have no regret. I have tried my best. So there's satisfaction instead of regret. Imagine dying with so many regrets. And imagine dying with satisfaction. So please, that's my request. If somebody wants to say something, okay.
Just a small thing reminded me, if you know Japanese, please correct me, because I was reminded of the, there's a Japanese saying that when it relates to when you're with someone. It's, I think it's ETA, Ichigo, first time, last time. So when you meet somebody for the first time, or you see them, and the, you know, my wife gets up in the morning, I see her first time, last time, you treat that.
Yeah, that's yeah, very good. Good advice. Yeah, if you are able to adopt that kind of attitude, you see, it's so wonderful. You know, when we see a person for the first time, we will be always polite, always pleasant. And then if we think that we will not see that person, you know, this is the last time I'm seeing person, our what do you call, attitude towards that person is completely different. How wonderful, you know, to have that kind of attitude. So please, that's why I say the share, you see. We all benefit from all this.
There's a saying among the Lakota people, native people in South Dakota and so forth. they don't say that now, but those who continue with the culture will say it. And I've heard it from them, and because I spend quite a bit of time with them. There was an okahe. Means it's a good day to die. You know, it's not that they're rushing.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
It's that similar.
Okay. I read something recently, a few years ago, that made me ponder, and that is our perception of death as being a threat or an accomplishment. You know. If we had a sense that the finality or the finalness of it was an accomplishment or an achievement, then death would be a friend, and it would be a beautiful thing rather than some threat or an ugly thing.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah, we normally say that death is part of life. Yeah. So some people may say, you see, oh, I'm not afraid of death. So I can think of two explanations for this, people who say that I am not afraid of dying. One explanation could be that that person is very well prepared. He has practiced Dharma or whatever, you know, his belief system. So he's very confident about it. Another reason could be, it's just ignorant. This is the case where we say, ignorance is bliss. So ignorant about death that, you know, I'm not afraid of it. So there's a bliss in there. But of course, people say that, you know, those who don't subscribe to any belief system, but at the time comes, they say that, wow, they really struggle. Because there's nobody to take refuge in. So there's a lot of fear there. There's a lot of confusion. But because you don't subscribe to any of these belief systems, so there's nobody to get some comfort, seek comfort from. So you ask them, when people say, oh, I'm not afraid of dying, is it? Which one is it? Sorry, somebody wants to share? Okay. First check.
Funny
for
question.
Okay. Ken.
The ignorance of seeing what other people contribute. Where does that come from? Because I can think of two things, either ego or immaturity. Because young people, like 10, 11, they have no concept of anyone else's feeling. So where, because ego, and then what is ego? Like where does this come from?
Yeah, so here when we talk about ignorance, we are not talking about this three poisonous thing, that ignorance. We are just saying that just doesn't know. There's no knowledge. You are just completely blinded. You have no idea of that. So when we talk about ego, that ignorance is different. You know, you have this misapprehension of how I exist. So that's different. But when I say ignorance is bliss, it's like knowing nothing, you know. Not knowing is a bliss. Yeah, you don't know about, you know, what happens there, and it's like just being, yeah, ignorant. Mm. Sorry? Amla, saying kare? Chedo. Kunjo tuma. Okay.
I take care of my family so well, but I never said yeah. I love them.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thinking that this may lead to an attachment. Mm. Is that right?
Yeah, I know this is our Tibetan culture. Tibetan culture, we never express, you know, affection in that verbal expression. We never say, even let's say, a mother, you know, does things to you. We never say thank you. It is called, you know, it is, in Tibet it's called nangza. It is just your family people. So we are, what is that one? Nangza. Okay. Of course taken for granted, but it is more like, you know, because we are family, you see, we don't say this. These are things for, you know, to say for other people. Yeah, so if my mother cooks for me, we never say, oh, thank you, mother. It just, of course, there is this taken for granted. And also it's like, that is mother's duty, you see. That kind of thinking is there. Yeah. But, yeah, of course, if you're able to express, it's good. Whether you express or not, attachment is there.
Mm. My thinking is, if I say, even if not doing something, I say, oh, I love you to your husband, like, I love you so much.
Mm.
I hear people saying, I love you on the phone all the time, just try to confirm that, that I love you. And that people also try to think, oh, okay, she loves me, she said that. It doesn't say they feel sometimes offended, but in my saying of thing, I never say I love you, not to my husband or my. I think that person, the other person will say, okay, she loved me, said she loved me. So that may increase their attachment towards me, so that when we meet each other, they will feel, oh, she loved me so much, now she's gone.
No. Of course there is that part. So, but another part is that, you know, if you express your love and all that, at least you have this feeling of, you know, okay, while she or he was alive, we lived happily. You know, she loved me. That counts. That kind of thinking.
The word itself? Or
no, of course.
Yeah.
Word doesn't mean anything. Yeah. So you have to say with from heart. Some people, yeah, they say it is just a, what do you call it? It's a, what is that word? Perfunctory. Perfunctory. It has become, I love you, honey, I love you, darling, whatever it is. That's become perfunctory. It's just a habit. It's just kind of greeting, you see. When you see people, you say, oh, good morning, hi, how are you? It has become like that. If you are saying in that tone and that kind of, you know, attitude, then, of course. But if you really express within, when others see that you really care for you, that's different.
And so I guess I always think of it.
Why? It's becoming so. Okay, please.
I'm sorry, this is exploding out of me.
Okay.
I always think of it as a gift to the person that you love, and that it gives them something very valuable and beautiful to carry with them. You know, I'm loved.
Yeah.
I guess I do recognize my own attachment in this stuff. And there's no question.
Yeah.
It's something I really want to give.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm sometimes a little reserved about doing that myself.
When
I do it, I always feel that I've given something the most as valuable as I can possibly give.
Yeah, actually, I should, instead of trying to answer that, I should ask you, you know, how do you feel when people say these things? Yeah, anyway, yeah, I think in the Western culture, yeah, expression is so important. Mm-hmm. But of course, in Tibetan culture, it's different.
Yeah. Well,
we don't express.
Western culture.
Is it?
No, I came from French Canadian of the old school, and we just, you know, we here compared to here, and I've been here a very, very long time.
Mm.
It's more. You know, like child-centered and so forth, you know. But growing up, you know, your parents did all kinds of things for you, but you kind of, and you didn't expect them to tell you they love you. Didn't do it. But at some point it changed, and now the old ones are hugging and
yes.
That, and they didn't do that.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
I
wanted to say in terms of affection, even the Dalai Lama, I watched, there was a documentary about the Mayo Clinic this week, and the Dalai Lama was, you know, was in there because he goes there, you know, for his checkups, and he talked about the, you know, the human affection, and he talks about this all the time, you know, so it's, you know, I take my cues, you know, from
Yeah. I was going to say something now. My that train of thought is, The main idea what I'm trying to here suggest is that, you know, while you are alive, you know, instead of arguing and quarreling with each other, just live a harmonious life, a loving life. You know, love each other. So that's the main point. What I'm saying. Yeah, I remember now. Yeah. So, Tibetan culture. Yeah. Yeah, we don't say that. And it is okay. Let's say if the parents don't express their love to their children, the Tibetan children won't take it as, oh, my parents doesn't love me. We don't have this kind of feeling.
Right.
But whereas in the West, maybe there is, you know, oh, it looks like, oh, my parents doesn't love me because never expressed their love to me. But Tibetans, we don't have this one. But of course, now we have new generation.
Exactly.
And it was so struck that day I attended the 60th anniversary there, function, to also thank Minnesota that event. And that was my first Tibetan event here. And I noticed that not just young people, even elderly people, when they meet each other, they are hugging. So that's not Tibetan.
Right.
Yeah, that's the Western culture. So they have kind of embraced that.
Right.
So the younger generation, yeah, of course it will be different now. Yeah, that's why we have this, when it comes to parenting style, we are going, oh. Okay, let me just finish this. Parenting style, there are four types of parenting style. So the main one is the authoritarian versus authoritative. So I have read a lot of research on this, but in the Western culture, authoritarian, while those who grew up under authoritarian parenting style, they have so many detrimental, consequences. You know, they even suffer at the academic achievement and all that. But when you look at the studies of Asian culture there, children growing up under authoritarian, it's okay. They're doing so well. There's no detrimental impact at all. So it's all because of, you know, how you interpret. For Western kids, they are grown up with, you know, if parents do all this, this is intruding into my privacy, my right, encroaching into all this. Whereas Asian kids interpret this as, oh, let's say if parents like helicopter parenting, so they spend time with you, they try to do it. They think that this is the way the parents express their affection to you, they care for you. You see how we interpret. So now what is happening is, even in Asia, because of all this Western influence, and children think that, hey, you cannot say that. And here, you know, Tibetan family, those who came earlier ones, they really suffered. Because children grew up with that kind of, you know, Western education. And parents were still, you know, in their Asian culture. And then they started to scold people and all that. Okay, let me tell you one story. I have a friend in New York. And that father arrived in New York, I think, a few years ago. And eventually he was able to bring the wife. And wife arrived, it was her first week. She said that this son, he didn't do his homework. So when the teacher asked, you know, why didn't you do exercise, he was kind of scolded. And he said, oh, please, please don't tell my father. That was the cue. Then they said, why? What happens if we tell our father? Tell your father. Wow, this is the next day, the social, what do you call the social workers, is it? They came to her house and she was just newly arrived and she was being interrogated and checked the boy on all this. And there were cases where parents beat their children. It's a Tibetan culture. How many times I was beating my father. And my father used to give her, you know, that leather piece. But I love my father. There was never, ever, even, what do you call, a trace of hatred. It is different, you see. How many times I was beating my father. But it's completely, you see, your attitude. Yeah, I think we better break and have tea. Yeah. Do you want me to say the instructions or you just want to go? Since yeah, there are new people, okay. Let's begin the meditation session by finding a relaxed, comfortable posture. If you are sitting on the floor, you can try to sit in a full lotus position with each foot resting on the opposite thigh. If you cannot sit in a full lotus posture, then the half lotus is sufficient. And if you have difficulty sitting on the floor, you can sit on a chair or whatever position that is most comfortable to you. Your spine should be straight like an arrow. Hold your head slightly bent forward. Shoulders should be level and relaxed, neither slouching nor stiff and tense. Place your two hands in the meditation gesture, the right hand on top of the left hand, with your thumbs touching about the level of navel. Alternatively, you could place your hands gently on your thigh with the tips of your fingers resting on your knees. Let your mouth and teeth rest in a relaxed, natural position. The tip of your tongue should rest gently on your upper palate, just behind the teeth. Let your eyes relax. You could either keep them gently closed or gaze softly in front of you at an angle where, if you were to look, you would see the tip of your nose. Let's take three deep breaths. Each time, breathing all the way down into your belly as if you were filling up the torso with your in-breath from the bottom to the top. Breathe deeply in this way and feel your belly rising each time as the air fills in. When you exhale, let your breath out at a slow, measured pace. Again, draw in a deep breath and imagine your body filling with revitalizing oxygen. And as you release this second deep breath, feel yourself relaxing. At the final deep breath, draw in all of your attention into this moment and release your breath slowly, feeling yourself drop into your body and into the present moment. Now bring your attention to the present moment by focusing on your breath. Choose a pace of breathing that is neither shallow nor deep, just natural. Now choose a focal point to anchor your awareness of the sensation of your breathing. Notice where you feel your breath in your body most prominently. It could be the nostrils, tip of your nostrils, where you feel subtle sensations as you breathe in and out, or your belly, where you feel the sensation of its rising and falling when you breathe. Once you have the focal point, just breathe in and out while resting your mind on that focal point. There is no need to think about your breathing. Simply focus your mind on your breath and experience each incoming and outgoing breath. as you do this, you might notice that your mind has wandered. You may start thinking about other things. When this happens, it is not a problem. It is very natural. Simply bring your mind back to the breath. It is important not to judge yourself. Simply bring back the awareness onto your breath and continue focusing on it. If you have difficulty holding your attention on your breath, you may try counting. You can try mentally counting your breath with each round of an inhalation and exhalation as one cycle. Breathe in as you breathe out. Mentally say one. You can count up to 10 and then start over. Another effective technique is to place a hand on your belly to feel its rising and falling at each breath. Either of this technique can be used to prolong your attention on your breath. If you are feeling drowsy or sleepiness, you may want to check your posture to ensure that your spine is straight. You can even open your eyes briefly to let some light in and then continue on focusing on your breath. Now reflect on the following. From beginningless time, I have been going round and round the samsaric cycle, going up and down, and being born into all the different forms of existence. Due to negativities committed, I have mostly been born into the lower realms, but now it is as if by accident I have been born human. But in reality, due to virtues cultivated in the past, I have gained this life that is conducive to fulfilling my positive potential, to gaining real happiness, and is thus precious. This precious human life that I have achieved, however, is not permanent. It will end in death that is coming soon, and nothing, external or internal factors, can prevent it. There is no special place that I can go to escape death, nor is there any special magical potion that can make me immortal. My lifetime cannot be extended and is constantly diminishing. My life is leaking away day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, like water dripping from a small hole at the bottom of a water jug. Death will definitely come. Let's contemplate on this for a few minutes. Resolve that since death is definite, I need to make good use of my remaining time and practice Dharma. And what is Dharma? It is training the mind to overcome the negative influences of ignorance, attachment, and anger, which are the source of all our problems and misery. Training the mind in virtue. Though I know death will definitely come, I do not know when. The time of death is uncertain. Our lifespan is uncertain. Right now, the average lifespan is 80, but many die before they reach 80 years of age. Being young is not a valid reason to believe death is far away. Some die when they are still in the womb. Some die just as they learn to crawl. Being healthy is also not a valid reason to feel assured of a long life. Certain sicknesses, accidents, disasters see young people dying before the old. Death does not age discriminate. The causes of death are many, and the causes of life are few. Things that people use to sustain life can become the cause of death. For instance, overdosing on medication, overeating or consuming unsuitable food, causing fatality. The houses you live in could collapse or burn down. There is no guarantee that life will extend beyond today. We cannot with certainty think, I will not die today. Spend a few minutes contemplating on these points and make a resolution that since the time of death is uncertain, starting right this moment, I will apply myself to training my mind in virtue and aim for meaningful goals. when death comes, my family, my friends, my status, my wealth cannot help me. Even if I am surrounded by loved ones at the time of death, they cannot accompany me. I have to go on alone, like a hair pulled out of butter, and experience death alone. All the things that I have worked hard for, I cannot bring with me, not even a tiny bit of it. I have to leave everything behind, loved ones, possessions, status, and so on. This body, which I have nourished and treasured so much, will degenerate and abandon me. There is only one thing that can help at the time of death, and that is the virtues embedded in my consciousness. These virtues act as a comforting companion, a guiding friend who journeys with me through death and beyond. Reflect on the benefits of a virtuous mind. Generate a strong resolution to prioritize practice over worldly, this life-only endeavors. You may slowly open your eyes. And if you are feeling a bit stressed, just take 3 deep breaths to release that tension or stress. Any comments? If no comments, then I have a homework for you today. Can you just pass out one? So this is a stanza from the 8 verses of mind training. So I am just requesting you for the coming week, the coming days, just recite this, carry with you this wherever you go, and every now and then read this and remind yourself. It says, in all my activities may I probe my mind, and as soon as an affliction arises, since it endangers myself and others, may I confront it directly and avert it. So remember, we talked about what meditation is about. So meditation is about taming our mind. At the moment, our mind is under the influence of all these afflictive emotions. We have given full freedom to all the afflictions, anger, jealousy, hatred, whatnot. So now this is telling us that you have to watch your mind. And any time when you see that affliction arises, let's say anger arises, it says that start away, confront it, and then prevent it from arising. Prevent it from further causing damage. So please, try this and see. You never know. Maybe, you know, it can be a good practice. Simple but good. Thank you.
Let's see the Chokhandala offering and the dedication prayers.
sāji pūkī jūshē mē tō tāng rīvā lēngjē nyēndē gēmbā dē sāngjē jēndō mē tē būvā yī chōgūn nāmbā jēngā chūbā shō gūrū rāna mēndā lākā nīyā tāyā mē Jachu semchor bimbo je, ma je pana ke jo je, ke ba nyamba me ba ya, kone gondo pe wa sho. Jetsu lame kuze rabden jen, namga chile cho jo ge ba dang, loza tembe cho me sa sumungi, jove me ze tatu ne yo shi. Agri rawe korwe shingam so pendang dewa malu chungwe ne shenre sewan tenzin yaso ye shabe sede bardo tengyoro jing jampel pawe jidara kemba tang kutu sangbo deyan dejen te teda kunye jesu dalo che gyawa dita tamche rabdo Yawa damje gi ngawa kala chotu ngawa de Tagi kiwe tsawa di kunja Sambo chuchi rato ngawa gi